It was so neat to honor our women this weekend and do a conference for them. And I just want to make a blanket statement that our women here are so important to me. I really treasure them, value them greatly. Women carry things. And it's hugely because of the men to play their role, but the women that the Lord has given me to walk alongside of me in covenant, and they carry vision and they carry the heart of this church, and actually are protectors and do that in a way that is at the same time submitting and yielding to my leadership. So I just treasure all of you so much. I love godly women are the most beautiful women. That is the mark of beauty in this life. And there's a marked difference when a woman has it's Proverbs 31. That woman, you're different. You're not like the women of the world. There's a true difference. And so I love you all, and I was glad we had a really good weekend. So I wanted to introduce Nicole, and also Christine Adkins is with her and shared her testimony. When Aaron Simmons came a year ago, right around this time, almost exactly right around this time that he was here a year ago, and he talked about this tragedy that had happened, losing Drew was very there. You were the youth leaders at the time, right, when this happened at the church there, and such an intricate part. And he was telling us the story of this, like, wow. He died in a car accident. The whole family was with him, and Christine was there as well. And so that was only a year ago in November, so just over a little over a year ago that took place. And Christine was here sharing her testimony. She's just so precious, such an amazing testimony of coming to reckon with a huge tragic death like that, where she truly, her testimony, her story, her husband is with Jesus, and he would drill her before. She was sharing, he would drill her like, if I'm ever gone, do not mourn me. I'm happy. I'm in a good place. You think about me like I'm on a good, great vacation. And I don't know how she did it. Well, grace of God only. And she's living that out. So, we see everybody processes these losses differently. But wow, this, what a story. And sure, she was in a halo for 3 months. And the doctors wanted to do how many, 4 surgeries on your neck? On each fracture, four. She only allowed the one on her pinky. And the rest, she just said, "I'll be fine. I'll heal," and she has. She's like, yeah, walking testimony. So, she's a gift. She's still involved down at the upper room in Tip City with Aaron and Nicole. And then, Aaron, you just fall in love with him right away. I met him out in Marion almost 2 years ago, and we were praying for who to bring, and I had a lot of thoughts of who to bring for a women's conference, and in the end, the Lord highlighted Nicole. I didn't even know her that well, but I just knew that was the right person, and she's come, and you've both been so gracious, like have just brought a real neat spirit with you. All the women really appreciated. Of course, I got to be here through most of it, and I just love what you brought, and we're just growing a friendship between ourselves with the upper room, and just relationally, it's very easy. And Aaron's been really a blessing to. He texts me and gives me words, and he's just a real, really, really neat person. I appreciate they're younger, but I love what they have at their church, and they carry that in such a natural way. So, Nicole, you come and tell anything else about yourself that you feel is important. It's all important, and I'll just turn things over to you girls.
Yeah. Okay. When we were listening to the miracles song, I just felt like God said that this is for the whole body, that the miracles that that you guys have walked through many years of a lot of things where you're not seeing miracles. But if you know the background of that song, Chris Kilala wrote that song after his baby died. His baby died for no reason. It was, I forget how old the baby was, maybe 6-7 months around there. And Chris Kilala wrote that as a declaration that no matter what, God is still good, and I still believe in miracles. And he brought that to my mind as I heard that, and I felt like I sensed that here with you guys, that no matter what, God is still good, and you know that he's going to do miracles, and miracles are going to be released, and you're going to see them in greater measure and here than you've ever seen before. It's just like that thing, that area where the enemy is trying to attack and bite you, that is the very area that you have authority in. And I just felt that, like, that enough is enough, and that now is the time where you're going to see a flood of just miracles happen, just crazy stuff. So we say, yes, God, and we just release that in Jesus' name. And then the last thing that I have, this just totally ties into what I'm going to speak on today. So I feel like this is an important weekend. I just really sense that this, you guys will look back on this weekend and you will just know that this is when a shift happened. And I'm just saying that just to release hope for you. But what I heard God saying was, I was hearing just like the word stakes. And then instantly I was reminded of the verse in Isaiah where he's talking about expanding your tent pegs. And I want to read that. It says, it's Isaiah 54:2, and it says, enlarge the place of your tent, which you guys were in a tent. Enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your stakes. And so I feel like you just are on the brinks of this thing, like something is getting ready to break. And so I feel like God is just calling you just in faith, just enlarge that tent. And so we're going to speak on some things today and we're going to go after the stakes. Like it says, strengthen your stakes. Your stakes are going to be strong and in the ground. And as your tent is expanded, those tent pegs or stakes are, they're down on the ground and they're not moving. They are not moving. And so I just wanted to release that over you because I saw that there's such a depth of hunger. It's just what Christy was saying. There's a depth of hunger among you. I am just so amazed. Because just the few stories that I've heard over the years of what has gone on and just how you guys are just so steadfast and just so faithful. I just feel like God is just so pleased with you. And it's just like he just smiles. He's just looking at you and just smiling. There is just such a pleasure. He's just so pleased. And there's just a genuine, that you carry such a genuine hunger and thirst for his presence. It's just so pure. That's just really special. That doesn't happen everywhere. I mean, I've been to so many places and you don't sense that everywhere you go. So anyway, it's just, God is just getting ready to wow. I put wow you. He is. And he's just going to do more than you can ask, think, or imagine. It's just going to be so much bigger. Whew. That's it for that. Let's transition. Yeah. Okay. But honestly, kind of what I want to speak on, kind of it does align with that. We're kind of going to like start there, and then we're going to do a circle, and we're going to come right back there. And I want to speak on family. So my husband, he's crazy. He is this, he has this giant tattoo across his chest that says family. I'm like, oh my gosh. But I'm like, if there's going to be something, I guess that's a good word, you know? So the reason that he got that is because it is something that he and I are just so passionate, just passionately pursuing. We're passionate about it. I think it's, And I mentioned this a little bit over the weekend, but it's just something that God is so passionate about. It's how everything started. It started with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They were a family. Adam and Eve, we have a family. I mean, God's whole thing is based on family. And so if that's what he's based it on, then that's what I feel that we should be going after. That should be our framework, right? So I want to... And I said this yesterday, but when we speak about the word family, every single person's mind will instantly go to what their thought of family is. Even though, I mean, it's a universal word, but everybody's thought and idea of what family is looks different, okay? It may be I was raised by my grandparents. It may be I was raised by a mom and a dad or just my mom. You know, so family looks different. So I want to share just a little bit about what my family looked like. So I had an amazing family growing up. My parents were not divorced. There was four of us kids. I was the oldest. I have a sister and two brothers. My parents got saved when I was like 2 years old. And so from what I can remember my whole life, we were in church. We went to a Nazarene church. And so we were raised in the church, and my dad was just, he's a retired science teacher. So as soon as he got saved, okay, there's a couple things there. He is very analytical, right? He needs to know the facts, the details, like this is just how science people are. And then also there's that whole like creation aspect. So it just sent him on this search for truth. He's just all about truth. And then my mom she was raised in church as well. And so we just have that good solid foundation. Now, there was no abuse. My family is very honest people. Integrity is a priority, purity, all of that type of thing. And love, like I always knew that I was loved. Like I never questioned whether or not they loved me and that type of thing. And they were always involved in my life, part of my life, cared about what I was doing and those types of things. Now, those are the goods. Lots of other good things too. But here are some things that as I've grown up and I've learned what my strongholds are and things that I need to work on, I can identify from kind of my upbringing. And some of that is like, while they were involved in our lives, I feel like it was kind of like a family that didn't really communicate. It was more of like a basic communication, like, how was your day? Good. You know what I mean? Like, it was just never like, there was never like some real depth to it. Non-confrontational. This is so weird. We would be so mad about things and we wouldn't do anything about it necessarily. Or my dad was kind of the type that would like get super angry and just like blow up and everyone would just, you know, it was just a very weird dynamic. And I watched him do that occasionally to my mom and she would just sit back and not say anything. And so I have seen like the remnants of that in my marriage because it turned me into becoming this person that's like, you're not going to help me and I'm going to lash back. And then I find myself becoming very like, you know, don't tell me what to do type thing. Cause it upset me that she wouldn't fight back, you know? So there are pieces. I'm sharing this to share that there are things that we can learn from our upbringing and we, you know, identify that. When Aaron and I got married, okay, this was like the collide of two different worlds because his family is 100% confrontational. It's weird. It's like they'll confront everything, but then there's certain times when they really won't say all of how they really feel. And so then that's just always hidden. It's just weird. But then there's also this piece to his family that's like, if I found out news, I have to tell everyone immediately. And if I wait 2 days and tell them 2 days later, it's like, why didn't you tell us 2 days ago, you know? And so here we have my family who is very private, doesn't share much of anything, you know? And then I walk into this relationship with him and we're just like, I'm like, why does your family want to know that like I'm puking today or whatever, you know? These weird, it's just such a collide of two different worlds. So thank the Lord that we've been able through the years and to come together and figure out what is going to be our normal, and then pray without ceasing that when our kids grow up, they're not too messed up. Okay, some other things about my family, very performance based, just like a performance system. So you can imagine how this has affected my walk with the Lord because I'm such a doer. Like, do, 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 I've checked this off, I've prayed today, I've read my Bible today, I've done my devotion today, like, you know? And I know that it was at a pure heart, a pure intention. My dad just always has wanted what is the very best for us. He wanted to see us be successful. He wanted to see us thrive. And he wanted to see us go beyond where he was, you know? And so it was pure heart, but there was this underlying, like, performance, like, do good, do, you know, good grades, da-da-da, don't get in trouble, these types of things. So those are just some, like, blurbs from my life and how my picture of what family looked like was distorted, right? So today, what I want to do is, as we're talking about family, I kind of want to, like, give us all, like, a baseline of what family really should look like. And I really want us to think about this in perspective of our church family. We're going to go after the church family today. And we can take it and apply it to our families, too. But I just really felt like that something's going to shift in your church family today, and we're going to all come into agreement with what the Lord is saying a family, his family, looks like. So the definition, this is interesting, but the Wikipedia definition of family is the basic unit for raising children. So interesting. So if we put that in perspective of the church family, we're a unit called to raise the sons and daughters of God. Yeah. So we got to get it together, because I don't want the sons and daughters of God to have to go through sozos in 10 years because they've been crapped on by the church. Right? Isn't that true, though? So, okay. So I want to read some scriptures that kind of are going to give a good kind of an outline of what the family looks like in the Bible. And the first one is going to be John 5, 19 through 20. I have a ton of Bible verses today. So, I mean a ton. But I'm going to read them quick. All right. John 5, 19 through 20. So Jesus explained, "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does, for the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he is doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you will truly be astonished." So we, right there, is a perfect example of the unity of the Father and Son working together. The Son only does what he sees the Father doing. Da, 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 da. So they're working together. They're in relationship. They're in covenant. I see that as, like, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit working together to know each other's hearts, basically. So we're thinking of this in perspective of the church. What does this look like? So we have the Father and Mother of the church, and we have the sons and the daughters that are working together with the Father and the Mother of the church, and they're learning the heart of the house, and they're only doing what they see the Father and Mother doing because we're working in unity. But the thing about that is that you actually want to do what you see the Father and Mother doing because you all carry the same heart and the same vision. So it makes it easy. It would be so difficult if God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were all on different pages. It makes it so much easier that they all had one clear vision. They knew what they were going after, and they can work together and flow doing it. John 14, 26. It says, "But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." So now, so awesome. So the Father sends the Son to do the works on earth. The Father trusts the Son to come onto the earth and do the things that he wants to be done. Oh, that's so good. In family, the Father and the Mother can trust the sons and daughters that if they're as they release them, that they're doing the things that the Father and Mother are desiring. God was able to release his Son to the earth because he knew that they had the heart connection, that they would be releasing the same thing. And then what's even so much cooler is then Jesus says when he leaves that the Holy Spirit's coming, and he's just going to keep doing what Jesus has already done, and they're working in such unity. And that's how it works, because the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're all working together. Okay, John 16, 13. I'm actually going to read 13 through 15. "But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own." This is so good. "He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. There's so much in that. Oh, it's so good. The Spirit is coming, and it's actually going to give, what the Spirit does is gives glory back to the Father. So good. So our point as sons and daughters in church family and in the family of God is to always be giving glory back to him. And even in a church culture, as we talk about like the culture of honor and things, then that goes back to your father and mother of your church. Like, honor is what love looks like. And if people come in from out there and they don't see that flowing in here, they will never want to come back, because they can go into their own house or they can go into their employment and they can see a bunch of dishonor, you know, and they can see a lot of gossip and this and that. But if they come in here and there's this honor that's rolling around and we're like honoring our father and mother of the church, then they're like, what is going on? There's something different here. And you're not, and I don't mean it in the sense of like we're idolizing them. No, but God has placed them in a place where we honor and lift them up. And it's very, very special, and it's very important, and it's what the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit do. So we model it. Okay, if God wanted something other than family, he'd ask us to call him something other than Father. Whoa, so good. Father or family is his heart. It is his heart. When Noah... who did Noah save when he took the people on the boat? Who did he take? His family. It was his family that got on the boat. In Revelation 7:9, hop to the end there, 7:9-10, it says, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hand, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And as I read that, I looked at that as a picture of what it looks like when everyone comes together in unity and is glorifying the King. It's a perfect visual of what family looks like. I mean, you guys, we come together, and you guys are up here, and you're all in one accord and one mind, and you're glorifying the King. And so it's all throughout the Word where God is showing the picture of what family looks like. There's harmony there. There's unity. Okay. All right. So we're going to crack off some bad mindsets. I've laid a foundation. We're getting an idea about family. I want to crack off some bad mindsets and patterns. And we're going to go with 1 Corinthians, the love chapter. Oh, it's Valentine's Day week. Yeah. But I was asking the Lord, like, what does family look like? And instantly I heard him say love. Family looks like love. Oh, the enemy has come through and has perverted family so much. Oh, there's some books. Take my kids to the library, to a library class. My 2-year-old, I take her to library class. And they have like sections where they put up like new releases and stuff like that. And I see these books that are being released that are like My Two Mommies and things like that. And it's just gut-wrenching, because it's like the enemy has perverted something so much. And you know what? And it's like, and he's even been given authority to come around. So sometimes we as Christians feel like we don't have the freedom to even say anything. It's like we feel like our mouths are shut. But I said this, I think, yesterday, but no, when we as Christians stand back and just don't say anything, that's just as bad as being too out in your face. You know what I mean? So the quietness, when we say, well, I'm just not going to say anything, no, we can't. That is not what God has called us to do. So we have to find that little fine line where we get to speak love and but still be making a difference, but not be aggressive. So God has said to me that the family looks like love. And so I want to go through and read 1 Corinthians 13, the love verses. All right? So 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7. And we're going to go through and we're going to change if family and love are intertwined. So everywhere it says love, we can say family, and it gives us an idea of what family looks like. So 1 Corinthians 13. All right. So verse 4, love family is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, trusts, hopes, and perseveres. Love never fails. Okay, so here are some things that love is not. So family is not jealous. So when we see jealousy and comparison start to rear its head, we just tell it to shut up. And we thank God that Summer has the Melissa Helser voice. We don't sit there and say, I wish I had the Melissa Helser voice. No, God gave you the scratchy voice for whatever reason. It doesn't matter. So family is not jealous. It does not compare. And it is not boastful. So we get to, this is a tricky one. It's not boastful in a negative way. I got to do this. I got to do that. I'm not going to go back to Upper Room and be like, I got to go da 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 in a way that's demeaning to other people in my church family. But I do get to go back and say, what an amazing opportunity. And you guys get to be a part of this because you're part of my family at Upper Room. So my Upper Room family gets to rejoice because I'm here. And I get to rejoice because they're part of me, and if without them, I wouldn't be able to be here doing this, right? So see how it's all working in unity. So it's not boastful. Family is not prideful. Proverbs 29:23. Let's see. Pull back up here. Proverbs 29:23. Pride ends in humiliation, while humility brings honor. We're back to that honor piece. Ugh, I hate pride. Man, if we think about it, pride is the root of so many issues. Ugh. So let's just capture that and say we are not prideful people. We are humble people. Humbleness brings honor. Don't get confused with confidence. Don't confuse pride with confidence. Those are different. Okay, love is not dishonoring or gossipy. Honor is what love looks like. Do you know the story of David where Saul was just trying to kill him and he was just being horrible? And what did David do when he had an opportunity to kill Saul? He took just a little slice of his robe. He could have killed him, but he just took a little slice of the robe. And actually, he felt bad about it after he did it. He wished he hadn't done any of it. But that's such a phenomenal, phenomenal analogy for us when we're thinking of honor. When you're leading with someone or under someone and you are, and they're trying to kill you. I don't know about you guys, but sometimes at our church, there are certain areas I feel like they are trying to kill me. They are trying to run me out of here. And so we have to step back and we just say, you know what? We're going to honor. We does not mean that we like agree with everything, but in this family, we honor each other. And when we walk out the door, we're all in agreement on these things. And we don't run to our friend and complain about how someone else in the church hurt us. This is just what the enemy wants it to do, is just swirl around and do these things. Okay, honor is not self-seeking. Basically asking ourselves, what do I get from it? Ugh. What can they do for me? What can I get? So they say, what can they do for me? So, you know, the sometimes a mindset in the world is, well, I'm hungry. I'm going to walk into the church and they better give me food or they better give me money. And then we get in this, and then we actually have people that are in the church and they're like, well, this is the church that I need this. They need to help me. They need to take care of me. And it's like, whoa, wait a second. You're a big girl and you're a big boy. What are you adding to the table? What are you bringing in so then you get to receive as well? It's a give and take relationship. The church family is not meant to just do everything for you. That's a benefit. See, those things naturally start to come and as you're part of the family. Like yesterday we shared when Christy had her accident, I was with her for a lot of the days and a lot, like during the day and stuff. And not only did the church provide, like, our church families were amazing with her, took her son, kept him overnight. We had women on a rotation that would stay with her every day. I mean, we had all kinds of stuff. But not only did they provide that for her, for my family, they were bringing us food. They were bringing meals for us. I didn't have to say, hey, I'm here all the time. You guys should be bringing us dinner. That didn't even cross my mind. Without me even having to say a thing, they're already providing for my needs. It's a mindset shift. Because when we're a part of a family, we want to do it for each other. We get to do it. And then our whole mind turns from what do I get to what do I get to give. My whole mindset is, what can I give? How can I help? When we have a lady right now who yesterday I just heard that her mom went in and they found a mass on her brain. She had a stroke. They found a mass on her brain. And already I'm thinking, okay, what can we do to help them? How can we help them? She's not asked for anything but prayer. But I'm already thinking, and I guarantee you there's probably already people who've sent her food. I mean, you know, it's just what can I give? We edify and lift each other up. We call them forth and help them come towards their destiny. The prophetic words that were released over everyone that you got to hear, you hold them accountable. You continue to speak that in their lives. We get to do that. Keeps no record of wrong. Family does not keep record of wrong. There are no oughts. We forgive. In Matthew 18:15, this is a huge one. It says, if a fellow believer hurts you, go and tell him. Work it out between the two of you. That's the Message version. I just liked it. If a fellow believer hurts you, go and tell them. Work it out between the two of you. How many have heard the Danny Silk stuff? You made a mess, you clean it up. I love that. I use that with my kids and everything. It has been phenomenal. The thing is, we've been raised in the, like, you know, we've been raised just in the world in general that, well, if someone hurt me, I'm going to go tell my mom and they're going to take care of it. You know, or we've been raised like if somebody hurts you, go tell a teacher and they'll take care of it. Now, I'm not saying that there's not a time for that, but I am saying if someone hurts you, go to them and let them know. They deserve that and so do you. And that's how we operate in family, church family too. It's so much better if you go to someone and let them know how you're feeling rather than just bottle it up because you're afraid to hurt them. That's never going to work out. Matthew 5:23-24, it says, so if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar. Go and be reconciled to that person, then come and offer your sacrifice to God. I had a situation maybe about 2 months ago where there was this woman who I'd been really close with and we had a great relationship, and something happened back in the fall and kind of like, I don't know, our relationship got a little weird. And so I kind of let it go because hadn't really bothered me. But then about 2 months ago, like I felt like the Lord brought it back to my attention again. And it was just really strong on me. And I just couldn't shake it. And even though that she had not done anything to me, I felt like there was something there. So I went to her and I said, is there something between us? I feel like that something's going on. Like, I'm so sorry if there's something that I've done. And she just looked at me and she's like it was the blankest thing, like, I almost felt like maybe she was searching to see if I had done something to her, you know? And she just looks at me, and then she's like, no, I don't think so. And I was like, okay. And then, you know, like, she's like, I'll go home and pray about it. And so then, like, a week later, she came to me, and she's like, I really prayed about it, and there's nothing here. And I was just like, okay. And it just released. You know, so there's no sense just to walk around. If you're feeling something, just go to them. You know, just go to them and just say, hey, did I offend you? Have I hurt you? All right, family does not delight in evil. Remember the story of the prodigal son? Prodigal son came home, and it's like they rejoiced. So we're rejoicing in these things. The angels rejoice when a sinner repents. So we're not holding record of wrong. Something happened 10 years ago. We're not going to hold on to it. We just can't. We can't afford it. People are going to hell. We get to reach them before they go. And so let's get our family connected and together. So here's what family is. It said, love is patient, love is kind. Remember all that? So family is patient. We make allowances for each other's faults. That's Ephesians 4:2-3. It says, always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. This is our goal, to be united in the Spirit and binded together with peace. Now, I want to say that when we're all binded together, it does not mean that we all agree on the same thing. We're not like robots. No. Like, you're so entitled to how you feel about something, and it's actually welcomed for you to speak up about it. However, after those things are discussed and after we make decisions about things and after we say yes to those things, we exit the building, we exit the doors, we exit the meeting that we're in or whatever, and this is what we believe and this is what we agree on. We don't walk out and say, well, Pastor Rick and Phyllis, they said that we're going to do this. And while they may have said that you're going to do something, just the way in which you're saying it gives off this kind of perception that, like, you're not sure if you agree, but they said we had to know. Do you see what I'm saying? So we walk out of things and we say, we decided because of the honor that's flowing. And that's what a family looks like. How many times when you were a teenager or a kid, you're like, my mom said I couldn't go with you, you know? And it's like, what? Well, I love my mom and we decided that I can't go. Right? All right. Family is kind. Family rejoices in the truth. Oh, I like that. This is so good. Family is truthful. We're open and honest with each other. There are no half-truths. There's no deceit. There's not even an atmosphere that's cultivated where we feel let down. We're truthful. We're open and honest. If something is happening, just be open and honest about it. Protects. Family protects safety and nurture, looks after each other. I had in my notes Cain and Abel. I was like, well, I was kind of concerned because I was like, well, I don't feel like they really protected each other. But I went back to read it. Genesis 4. And there's this little part here. It says, now Abel kept flocks and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits in the soil as an offering to the Lord, but Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was angry and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Yeah. Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, you will not be accepted. Will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. Now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. I felt like in that the Lord was saying that God is always there trying to provide safety and nurture and protect. And the problem was that the one brother felt jealous and didn't feel like God was also looking out for him. And so family, as a culture, we provide an atmosphere where everyone feels like they are protected. It's like that whole, like, I taught for 8 years. And as a teacher, you want to feel like your principal is going to protect you, right? If you have a classroom of students and you have one parent who's just coming against you, and the next thing you know, they're coming at the principal, and the principal sides with the parent, you feel like you're just out here floundering because you got nothing. And so it's so important in the family culture, in the house, that you as sons and daughters feel protected by the mother and father, but also protected for each other. That if someone comes in, like we've had so many people that come into the church and it's amazing. They'll want to come in and they'll want to start kind of cracking through some things and they'll want to create a little bit of discord or this or that. And what has been so amazing is they'll go to this one and try to do something, and this one will shut them down because of the culture that's there. So then they're like, all right, well, that didn't work, but I'll go over here. And then they go to this one, and then they're shut down because there's an honor thing. We're protecting each other. And so what happens, one of two things happens. They either get on board, and they start dealing with their own stuff, and it's amazing because they experience incredible freedom and breakthrough, or they leave. And we're like, see ya. Right? Because we don't want none of that. So it's so important that there's an atmosphere of protection and safety. All right. Family trusts, family hopes. Oh, this is so good. What does it look like when you have a culture of family and you get to dream together? And your dreams, oh, they're so intertwined. Like one of you has the dream to go to Mexico for missions. And then another one has a dream to start an orphanage. And then your dreams combine and you're going to Mexico and starting an orphanage. It's incredible. You get to dream together and hope together. Family perseveres. You never give up. You don't walk away. You don't threaten to quit. How many times that we've been in meetings and we walk away from a meeting, and luckily this hasn't happened in a long time, but we would walk away from meetings and we'd get a text, I'm just going to find another church. What? Just like that? Because why? Because this is the thing that the enemy has done in our culture is, I don't like something, I'm just going to walk away. Like, where's the perseverance in that? So we don't threaten to quit. We don't. It's just not part of our vocabulary. We've talked about it a lot in our leadership. We just say, we don't threaten to quit. We will not threaten to quit. We will persevere. We will talk about what's hurting us. We will confront things. We will love. We will honor. And we will work it out. Okay. Family is not easily offended. Proverbs 18:19 says, an offended friend is harder to win back than a fortified city. Arguments separate friends like a gate locked with bars. We're not easily offended. Matthew 11:6, tell him, God blesses those who do not turn away because of me. Don't carry hurts from others or other churches here. Oh, this is a good note. So many times we leave one church and we don't deal with our hurts from that place. We don't deal with like how the pastor hurt us or how the worship leader hurt us or this or that. And we don't deal with it. So then the next place that we go to, we bring all of that and we assume the same types of things may happen at the new place. And so now we've already have a case built towards the pastor. We have a case built towards our worship team. We're just like sitting there waiting on them to do the same things that the other place did just so that we can say, see, you did it to me too, and now I'm leaving this one. And so it's called The Bait of Satan. Have you read the book by John Bevere, The Bait of Satan? And so this is a good point for you guys as you get ready to blow open the doors and grow. I feel like you guys are going to be, somebody had the vision, there was a vision about the cars. Yeah, and the healing. We had the same word, that we were going to be a healing center. And I think for a while we assumed that it meant like physical healing. But we're learning that we're actually a place where people, pastors, church people come and are restored and healed from church hurt and things. And this whole concept and understanding that people walk into your church with previous baggage and previous church hurt, it's so imperative that you recognize it because you can identify it in them immediately. And I've had it happen just recently. It's like, we are not them. We will not do that to you. And whatever issue you have with us, let us know. We want to work this out. And so just so good for you as you guys blow open here that you're getting new people that you get to like. You're going to be able to identify that in them. So we're not easily offended. All right. Family forgives, receives correction, receives discipline, receives criticism, and family is committed and follows through. If you say you're going to do it, do it. I'm talking about even as much as if on a Sunday morning you see someone here and you say, hey, we should get together this week. That's kind of like making a commitment. And so follow through with that. Like text them 2 days later and say, hey, we talked and we said we might get together this week. Are you available? Like follow through. That is so huge. Family follows through. Okay. So family is love. It represents Jesus well. And there's freedom. All the members of the family are walking in freedom. Jake Hamilton has a quote. He says, this kingdom looks like a family. He said, how do you say it? Fathers and mothers, sisters and brothers, all walking free. And that's just it. We get to be sons and daughters and mothers and fathers walking free. And just because you have a mother and father of the church doesn't mean that you are not mothering and fathering yourself like others. You all are mothers and fathers. We get to be mothers, fathers, sons, daughters, all of that. So good. So good. Okay. So I'm done. It was a lot. I feel like you guys are like, but we're going to pray. We're going to do some prophetic things. So I want you to stand. It's good. Do you guys feel like you're gaining from this? I just think it's foundational for what's getting ready to unleash in here. And it's so good for your families at home too. We practice all of this stuff with our kiddos at home. I mean, I'm like saying probably 5 times a day or more. When somebody runs to me and says, "Olivia hit me," did you tell her how it made you feel? But you know what's powerful? Like, it drives me crazy. I just want to be like, "Olivia, don't hit." But the thing is, it's setting up a foundation so that when they're adults and someone hurts them, it's in them to know, like, I'm going to go to them and I'm gonna let them know that hurt me. It's so freeing and it's so good. So what I'd first like to do is I want you to get with, if you have your natural family with you, I'd like you to just grab hands with them. Or if you don't have any family with you, grab hands with someone because we're family. So everybody needs to have a hand. Oh, yeah. The aunts and the brothers and the cousins and the... That's like it is at our place, though. So in that case, I was going to have us do a natural family and spiritual family, but might as well do it all. So for your natural family, I just want you to just gather up in a circle, and I'm just going to release you. This is kind of like an activation for you. I'll pray first, but then I want to release you to do this with your families. We're just going to release forgiveness, we're going to release blessing, and we're going to release freedom over just your natural family first. So God, we just release just a whole new revelation and mindset, God, shift of family. What family looks like, God. I thank you right now that you are just coming in like a tidal wave, God, and you're just supernaturally releasing forgiveness, God, that you're also bringing up things that have hurt, that we've been holding on to, that are hurting, God, and I ask for a special grace and mercy to flow, God, as things are being revealed, God, and as we go one to another in our family, God, that you are just allowing for just an abundance of forgiveness and grace and mercy, God, just like never before. God, we just release a blessing upon blessing over every single natural family in this place. God, every single member, honestly, God, even family that are lost, even family that are not in the building right now. God, every single family member that is connected to someone who's standing in here right now, I just release forgiveness, blessing, and freedom in the name of Jesus. We call forth a freedom like never before in our families and in our homes, God. I thank you that freedom reigns in this place. Freedom reigns in our homes. Freedom reigns in our families, God. You are so good, so good. Okay, so I want you just to gather up with your family right now. Just pray. Would you just pray as a family unit, just real quick, for each other? Just bless each other, forgive each other, love each other. Pray for family members. And I also, over your families, I say that wrong things be made right in Jesus' name. Injustices in your family are going to be made just in Jesus' name. That the blood of Jesus is covering it all. And that wrong things are being made right in Jesus' name. And also speak a financial blessing over every family member, every household that's represented here, God. We just say favor increase, blessing increases. God, in your name, God, we're going to pray for the children of these homes now, and I just thank you for the kids in these homes, God. I thank you that you are opening up something in their spirit that's going to make them hunger and thirst after you like never before. God, I pray that you would just direct their paths, Lord, that then when they're faced with two choices, God, that they would take the choice that you have for them. Lord, I thank you that they are alive and they are well, that they are blessed, that they are protected and covered. God, just put a protection of angels around them, just a wall of angels that goes with them wherever they go, that the angels would enlighten their heart. God, that the angels would keep them safe. God, that you would just cover their ears, shut their ears from hearing anything that is not of you. God, and we ask for a supernatural protection of their eyeballs. God, that they don't see anything that's going to contort or pervert any of the things that are of you. God, I thank you right now that their mouth will speak the praises of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. All right, so we're going to, I want to hold hands first. And we're just coming together in unity. I need to get out of the middle. Let me scoot over here. We're just coming together in unity and saying that we're declaring that same thing that we just claimed over our natural families. We're saying yes to this family. We're saying yes to the mothers and fathers, the sons and daughters. We're saying yes to what family looks like. And so let's just pray that. Would you just pray that with me? We're going to pray together. So God, right now, I thank you for this body of Christ. I thank you, God, that you're doing something that's going to wow them in Jesus' name. God, we pray for every single ought, any ill feeling, any negative thing that has happened. God, I ask Lord, that you would just bring it to the surface. Let's deal with it, God. Let it just be gone in Jesus' name. God, I just release a supernatural abundance of grace and forgiveness in this family. God, I thank you for the healthy place that is happening here, the healthiness that's going forward, God. And I just release supernatural blessing and favor over their lives, God. God, I ask right now that you would increase their awareness of family in this culture, Lord. I ask for an increase in your wisdom and your favor, God. I ask for a financial blowout for this place, Lord. God, I say that this is a house that's going to be highlighted for miles, God, for miles and miles and miles. God, I thank you that people will come from far because they know that there's something here that they want. And it's you, and it's shown through the family that's here. God, I thank you for the yeses in their hearts, God. The yes that is for you and the yeses that is for this family, this culture here, God. We thank you that we come out of this in one mind, in one accord. We thank you that we come out in agreement. God, we thank you that we come out in honor. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your kindness over this family. God, I speak a supernatural protection around the walls of this place, God. I thank you that it will withstand everything that the enemy tries to come at. God, but I say that anything the enemy does, it bounces back off, Lord, and it has no way to enter. We shut every gate, every open thing that would allow the enemy to have any hold, Lord. We say yes to you. We release angels upon angels just to surround this place. God, I speak supernatural miracles happening, God. We call it forth quickly in the name of Jesus. I thank you that families are being restored. I thank you that marriages are restored, that marriages are better than they've ever been. Even great marriages are becoming greater in your name, Lord, right now. I thank you that sons and daughters, lost sons and daughters, are coming home. God, I thank you that they find this place as a place of refuge and a place of hope, a place of love and a place of acceptance. In Jesus' name. Lord, right now we release everything to you, God. We give you full surrender. We give you full control, Lord. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Jesus.